Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Hello, inspired listeners. This is Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. We have a very exciting show today. Happy fall to you. We have moved almost into the end of September as we get ready to go into the month of October. And today we're going to be discussing why science needs spirituality to make sense of the world. I'm your host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, coming to you live here from the beautiful Pacific Northwest of Seattle, Washington. If you want to learn more about the work I'm doing here in Seattle or all around the country in the Pacific Northwest, visit marklanehart.com or internet search the Intuitive Prospector. I would love to work with you and help you explore and discover through mind, body, and spirit. So I want to get right to the show's information and get our guest on the air here who's coming to us live all the way from England. But before I do that, I got to bring on my beautiful and lovely co-host, Kim Thalkin, founder of Love First, coming to you live from Richmond, Virginia. Want to make sure we have a good connection because we are getting over a harvest full moon. So you know how that can be with energy and full moon energy. So, Kim, are you on the line with us?
I am on the line. Can you hear me okay?
I can. There you are. So how are you?
Excellent. Good, good. Good afternoon, Inspired Community. We are happy to be here with you today and every Wednesday. We got an interesting topic at hand, and I know, Mark, this one speaks closely for you. You are always interested in science and spirituality. So I saw this. I thought, oh, you like that combination, and it's an interesting one for people. So, yes, you got a great show ahead of us today. I do want to remind our listeners that they can call us live at 202-570-7057 with any questions that you have for us or the guests. We are going to be covering a lot of information, but we are welcoming questions today. A couple of other just informational pieces here. If you'd like to learn more about the work that I'm doing or connect with me, you can do that at lovefirst.info. I do have a couple of announcements on my end. You can connect with me also through Meetup. I do have a Meetup group here in Virginia under Kimberly Thalkin Love First. My first class is on Saturday, October 6th, and it's all about working with the angels and healing with the angels. So it's going to be a fun class. You can learn more about it on my website through Meetup and on my Facebook page. And then you can join me Fridays on Facebook Live under Kimberly Thalkin Love First for Freedom Fridays. Our first Freedom Friday is this Friday, where we're just going to be opening up conversation, talking about all things spiritually related. There'll be Q&A and free readings. I hope you'll join me on Friday at noon Eastern on my Facebook page, Kimberly Thalkin at Love First. We do have an inspired affirmation for the month of September, which is realities are as bendable or as fixed as I believe them to be. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, you can find us under Facebook, Inspired Living Radio, Twitter, and Instagram under Inspired for Us. Also, Google Plus under Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. And you can send your questions there as well, or just learn about upcoming guests and shows that we're going to be doing. You can also listen to all of our archives on Own Times Radio, Podbean, SoundCloud, marklanehart.com, YouTube, iTunes, and lovefirst.info. Back to you, Mark.
Awesome stuff. And we're covering, so pretty much, Kim, we're covering the whole week now. So I've got Metaphysical Mocha Mondays through Facebook Live every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then we come over to Wisdom Wednesday, where we're live here for Inspired Living Radio, live through the internet with a global audience of inspired listeners all around the world, which we love. And that's starting right at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, which we call Wisdom Wednesday. And now we're going to have Friday for Freedom Fridays with Kim. And what time is that going to air? That's going to be through Facebook Live as well, correct, Kim?
That is. It's going to be at 12 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay, so 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, correct?
That's right.
All right, so we're covering the whole week with inspiration, with knowledge, with spiritualism, with psychic, with mediumship. So you got a couple few outlets now if you want to work with Kim or myself, if you want to catch the live show, if you want to go to our Facebook page right now and join our Inspired Listening community, which is well over 1,200 inspired listeners all around the world. Love to have you put a little pin on our interactive map. And with that, let's get this show rolling, because this is, like Kim was saying, this is a topic that I'm very dear, close and dear to, as far as spiritualism and science and how you bridge that gap, if you will. So today we're going to welcome in our very special guest, Steve Taylor. He's a PhD and he's a senior lecturer in psychology at the Leeds Beckett University and is the author of several best-selling books on psychology and spirituality. For the last 7 years, he has been included in Watkins Publishing Mind, Body, Spirit magazine list of 100 most spiritual, influential living people. His books include Waking from Sleep, The Fallout of Darkness, Back to Sanity, and his latest book, The Leap. His books have been published in 19 languages. Wow. While his articles and essays have been published in over 40 academic journals, magazines, and newspapers, including Philosophy Now. I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, Steve. Tikkun,
I think.
Tikkun, yeah. Okay. Okay. Journal of Humanities, Humanistic Psychology and Journal of Consciousness Studies. Boy, try to say that three times fast. If you want to learn more about the work that Steve is doing, you can visit him at stephenmtaylor.com. And we also have a direct link to today's book that we're going to be talking about, Spiritual Science, Why Science Needs Spirituality to Make Sense of the World. There is an Amazon link right on our Facebook page that you can click on and you can download it. Steve, welcome to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim.
Welcome. Hi, Mark. Hi, Kim. It's great to be here.
So let's talk about this bridge, this topic called spiritualism or spirituality and science. And I, in my studies and my journey, I'm finding as we move forward in consciousness, there really is a relationship that is forming between science supporting spirituality and spirituality supporting science. Let's talk about why does the world need it to make sense of it, make sense of the world?
Well, I think that the standard materialistic model of science just doesn't work. And as time goes by, it's becoming more and more evident that it doesn't work. You know, that I think we're at a point in our culture now where there's a shift away from the kind of hard materialism, which suggests that matter is the only reality and human beings are just biological machines. And the only purpose of our lives is to reproduce and survive. I think, you know, on the one hand, that kind of science, it degrades and disrespects human life and it disrespects the world. It creates a sense of nihilism, a sense of meaninglessness. But maybe most importantly of all, it can't explain the world properly. I think only a science which is based on spirituality can really explain the world.
Mm-hmm, very much so. And in this book, so your new book, and when was the actual release date on this? Just for
last week, 20th of September. So just
okay.
Last week.
Yeah, I knew it was in the last couple weeks because we tried to coordinate the show to the launch of the book. And you've got several books out there. So we were talking before we came live on the air, and I was telling Steve it's very cool that I get to talk to people that have, you know, 3 degrees of separation. So your last book was forwarded by Eckhart Tolle, and, you know, being able to have, you know, somebody forward your book, you know, that's pretty awesome. But this book, you talk about in your book that this is your attempt to justify your views for anyone that believes to be rational by means of definition, you also ascribe to a material view of the world. So I guess for the start of this show, before we go to our first break, we have a few minutes here. Let's talk about moving into religion and materialism, because, in this day and age, we are really all about materialism and how that ties into spiritualism and science and our need to have just stuff. Because in my journey, it's the more stuff we have, the more it ends up owning us, and we can't take any of it with us, right? We don't get to take our favorite car or our house when we leave this world. So let's talk about religion and materialism.
Yeah. Well, that really came about because I work in a university. I'm an academic, and my colleagues are always really surprised when I say that I'm open to the existence of psychic phenomena. I believe that there is some kind of life after death. And they're really surprised because it's kind of taken for granted that if you're an academic or an intellectual, you're supposed to be skeptical about these things. You're supposed to be a rationalist. You're supposed to believe that, you know, that we just consist of genes, and when our bodies die, we die, and everything fades away with us. So my colleagues are always really surprised. And a lot of intellectuals, they kind of assume that the only alternative to believing in the rational view of the world, to believing that we are just genetic machines and there is no life after death, no psychic phenomena, they believe that the only alternative to that is to be religious. And what I'm trying to do is really sort of create some common ground between rationality and religion, and show that there is an open space, and that in order to understand the world properly, you have to, you know, you have to integrate spirituality and science together rather than keeping them separate.
Yeah, that's in your book, you talk about there was a word that I was looking for here as I'm looking at your book. It was pan-spiritualism or
Yeah,
it's something I'm not familiar with, so I wanted to talk about that as well, because I know a lot about spiritualism and different religions, but I wasn't familiar when I was reading through the book. I wasn't familiar with that term. So what does that mean specifically?
Well, that's because it's a new term. It's a term which I've invented. So,
I don't know about it.
It's hot off the press.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the term is new, but the concept is very familiar. It's very traditional. So really what I'm trying to say is that, you know, in the standard model of science, the basic reality of the universe is matter, and everything is built up from material particles, and everything can be explained in terms of material particles. Even the mind is a result of material particles because it's just produced by the brain. But I'm saying that the fundamental reality of the universe is not matter, it's actually spirit. And spirit, in the sense I use the term, it's a kind of energy or force which is, you know, it's so fundamental that the whole universe arises out of it. You know, the universe began with spirit, and the material world emerged from that. And because it's so fundamental, it's everywhere. You know, it's an all-pervading force which is in everything and which fills the space around us. And it's in our own being. It's in all other living beings. And in a sense, that's quite similar to the way that a lot of indigenous peoples perceive the world. You know, the Native Americans spoke about the great mystery, the great spirit. A lot of indigenous peoples around the world had similar terms in different parts of the world. And also a lot of spiritual traditions have a concept of some kind of all-pervading fundamental spiritual force. So I'm saying that this concept of spirit, this all-pervading fundamental spirit, this should be the foundation of science. And if you make that the foundation of science, then it becomes possible to understand the world and understand human behavior properly.
And just for our listening audience, can you say that term one more time that you've coined, just so we can get...
Yeah. So the idea that spirit is everywhere and is the fundamental thing in the universe, I call it panspiritism.
Panspiritism. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Panspiritism.
I love that. I love learning new stuff. That's all. Yeah, the whole reason I do radio.
Yeah, pan literally means all or everything. Sure. So it basically means everything is spirit. Everything. All is spirit.
Okay, all right. I like that. Yeah, that's why I do radio. I get to learn new things. I get to read awesome books, and I get to meet amazing people like yourself. So let's talk about, real quick, let's get a little bit deeper into the now that we've got pan-spiritualism out there, let's talk about religion, and let's talk about, you know, belief systems, you know, because, you know, the work I do as a spiritual medium, you know, there's a lot of critics and a lot of people that don't believe in, you know, in your book, you talk about we either believe in a God who overlooks and controls the events of the world, or you believe that nothing exists apart from chemical particles and phenomena, including living beings that have accidentally formed out of them. So either God created all life forms, or they evolved accidentally through random mutations and natural selection. But you talk in the book that this is a false dichotomy.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, this is what most most rational people, most intellectuals think that you're either a scientist or you believe in religion. You either believe in life after death, or you believe that. Sorry, you either believe in heaven and hell, the kind of religious mm-hmm. idea of life after death, or you believe that there is no life after death. But in actual fact, there's always a third alternative. You know, the third alternative is to look into studies, to research into mediumship, to look into the research into reincarnation, to look at the evidence of near-death experiences and deathbed visions and so forth. And you can see from this evidence that there is, it looks like there is a possibility of some form of life after death. And that's actually scientific. You're looking at evidence and you're drawing conclusions based on the evidence. So it's not superstitious nonsense. It's not religious. It's not just a religious belief. It's a rational argument. And you could apply the same idea to evolution as well. A lot of people think that you either believe in Darwinian evolution or you believe in creationism. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. That there is a third alternative, which is to believe in, a kind of spiritual view of evolution.
Yeah, and I was raised with a religious belief system, obviously, but that changed over time through my own personal experiences. And I know you talked about in the beginning of your book when you were 18 and a friend had asked you to go in to a local library and talk about meditation. And I for me, meditation is a very strong connection to the spiritual world. But the book itself is a very fascinating book to read. There's just so much, there's so many gold nuggets in there that I was really resonating with. And you talked about, at the same time of solving many of the riddles of science, a spiritual worldview can change our relationship to the world. We're going to be going to our first break, but I want to pick back up, if we can, after the break, talking about the many riddles, not only of science, but the many riddles of spiritualism and how that can change our relationship to our world and how we perceive our world. So there's the cue. We're going to be back here in 2 minutes for the second half of Inspired Living Radio with Mark Kim and our very special guest today, coming all the way live from England, Steve Taylor. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? But did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. Our very special guest today, Steve Taylor, coming to us live from north of England, up by Manchester. Steve is a PhD and senior lecturer in psychology at Leeds Beckett University, also author of several best-selling books. Today we're talking about his new book that was just released last week, Spiritual Science, Why Science Needs Spirituality to Make Sense of the World. So right before the break there, Steve, we were talking about the many riddles of science and a spiritual and how a spiritual worldview can change our relationship to the world. I think our inspired listeners would get a lot out of that, going a little bit deeper into that topic as far as because there's so many riddles, you know, when you get into the aspects of science, when you get into the aspects of spiritualism, when you get into the aspects of psychic or mediumship, there's a lot of riddles out there. And I know this personally from being a spiritual medium myself. But you also talked about meditation as a way of refining your inner being as well. And I think those are some great things that we can talk about for the listening audience.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest riddles, I mean, some scientists say that the biggest riddle of all is consciousness. You know, if we close our eyes, we become aware of our own thoughts. We become aware of sensations and perceptions. And this is our consciousness. So a lot of scientists have been working really hard to try to explain how the brain could give rise to consciousness. There's an assumption that consciousness is produced by the brain, but they've been doing this for 20 or 30 years, you know, using brain scans, the latest technology, but they haven't really got anywhere. It still remained a mystery of how the brain produces consciousness or how consciousness is associated with the brain. But I think it's remained a mystery. It's such a big riddle because it's not true. It's not actually true that that consciousness is produced by the brain. Consciousness is obviously related to the brain in some way because, if we have brain damage, consciousness is impaired, and our consciousness can be affected if we take substances which alter our brain functioning. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that consciousness is produced by the brain. I think if we go back to the idea of what I call panspiritism, which is the idea that consciousness is a fundamental thing which flows everywhere in the universe, then we can say that, you know, consciousness is out there around us, and the function of the brain is to pick up this consciousness which is around us, to receive it and to transmit it into our own individual being. That's what the brain does, and that's how we become individually conscious. So from that point of view, you know, the consciousness is not such a riddle because it doesn't actually come from the brain.
Yeah, and you make a good point on that because when we do have a brain injury, when the brain is not functioning like it should, that consciousness aspect, that connection is broken. I was about a week ago, I was reading some articles about science is showing that the universe is actually consciousness as a whole. The actual universe as we know it is consciousness. And when we get into death and dying, we actually just return to source. We return, we ourselves are part of that consciousness. I don't know where your book or your philosophy falls into that, but I just thought it was interesting that we're starting to uncover and we're starting to unlock doors that have been closed for several thousand years, you know, with our understanding of the universe, with our understanding of the human body, the understanding of medicine and the capabilities, what the brain is capable of doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the case that science and spirituality are converging and beginning to merge. And I think a lot of, one of the things I did when I was researching the book, I looked into a lot of contemporary research in science. And I found that a lot of scientists are moving beyond the kind of standard model of science that suggests that there is only matter. A lot of them are realizing that it's too simplistic and the universe is actually much stranger and much more complex than we think. So they are beginning to adopt more kind of spiritual perspectives. So I think that's really encouraging. And In evolution, for example, a lot of scientists are beginning to reject the standard Darwinian model.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea that evolution is propelled by random mutations and natural selection. But a lot of scientists are beginning to realize that evolution or living beings are actually very creative and dynamic. And there seems to be a kind of a dynamic impulse in life itself to become more complex. And again, you could say that's a kind of spiritual view. It's one of the trends in evolution is to move towards more and more consciousness. You know, consciousness expands and it intensifies through evolution. So that seems to be a kind of an inbuilt tendency, you know, which can't be explained in standard scientific terms.
Yeah, and for some of our listeners right now, they might be, you know, the mind might be blowing up a little bit and just trying to have the understanding and the logic behind everything that we're talking about. So let's break it down just a little bit. Let's kind of put it in layman's terms as far as how would you define consciousness as far as your understanding of consciousness itself? I know we just talked about the universe and the brain, but what would your definition of consciousness be?
Well, I think there are two kinds of consciousness. There is what I call fundamental consciousness, which is, you could say, that's spirit. That's the essential spirit, which is, you know, the fundamental reality in the universe from which all things emerge and, you know, from which our own beings emerge. But there's also individual consciousness, and that's, you know, our own personal consciousness, which comes from fundamental consciousness. But you could talk about that in terms of spirits, our own individual spirit, which comes from universal spirit. And because our own individual spirit is part of the universe, it's part of universal spirit, there's really no sense of separation. You know, we are always connected to everything, and we are connected to other human beings, other living beings, to the whole of nature. I think that's why, you know, if you talk about telepathy, for example, that's how telepathy works. It works through the connection we have, the shared consciousness we have with other human beings. And I think that's also how altruism works, you know, the kind of instinctive kindness which human beings have.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't always manifest, but, you know, often shows itself in crisis situations. So just like telepathy, that works through the fundamental connectedness, you know, that allows us to feel compassion and empathy for each other. And altruism arises when we act on that empathy and when we do things to try to alleviate other people's suffering.
Yeah, exactly. And it is a very, I totally agree with you, it is a very symbiotic relationship between us, the people around us, and I always talk about the unseen world as a medium of what we don't see, but we can feel the effects of the unseen world, just like we feel the effects of the wind, but we don't see the wind with our human eye. And also the symbiotic relationship that goes hand in hand with our planet, nature, other living creatures, you know, all symbiotic and related and supposed to work in a ecosystem, but us as humans tend to be in an ecosystem and thinking that we're at the top of this food chain, right?
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah, I have a term. I call it eco-psychopathy, which, you know, psychopathy is psychopaths who feel no empathy for other human beings,
right?
And they exploit other human beings. They see them as objects,
right?
And they just see other people as a means to an end and don't feel any emotion towards them. But I think we have the similar attitude to nature. I think our culture as a whole suffers from eco-psychopathy, which means that towards nature is just a supply of resources. It just consists of objects. You know, other living beings are just biological machines, and they're there for our own use, for us to use and abuse. So I think we lack that sense of connection to nature that you described. And I think that is the root cause of our, you know, environmental issues. Our kind of degradation of the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have to be careful because what the environmental issues can carry over into the social issues because they really are all connected at some point. So your book, very easy read, about 260 pages, highly recommend it. Like I said, for our inspired listeners that are listening today, or if you catch the Encore show, if you go to our Facebook page, we have Steve's link to his website if you want to learn more about the work that he's doing, if you want to get his books. And we also have a direct link through Amazon for today's book that we're talking about, Spiritual Science And as far as the book, how long did it take you to write the book, Steve? As far as to put it all together and the editing process, I know that's always a journey and a lesson in itself.
Not so long, actually. Maybe 6 months. So it went pretty quickly. But that was partly because, you know, throughout my life, you know, I'm 51 years old now, and probably since the age of probably my mid-20s, I've always been interested in these issues, and I always sort of made notes, and I always kind of developed ideas, and I've written articles over the years along similar lines. So I always knew that at some point I would write this book. I would kind of collect all my ideas together, and I would, you know, partly I'm trying to show that the standard model of science doesn't work, and partly I'm trying to show that there's a lot of evidence that a spiritual model is the true nature of the world. That spirit is the true kind of essential reality of the universe. So the book was kind of inside me for a long time. So it was ready to come out, as it came out pretty easily.
And so how many books have you written total?
This is my 11th.
11th book. Okay, so that's pretty easy. For those of us that are still working on our first book, any advice for us up-and-coming writers out there that struggle trying to get our first book put together?
Well, I would say Ernest Hemingway, the novelist, he said that the most important thing for your first draft is just to finish it. Mm. So I think if you can get to the end of your first draft and you can have a complete book, even if it's not a finished book, that's really helpful, because then you have the basic material to work with, and then you can begin to fill in the gaps and mold the original material. But I think, you know, writing is one of those things that, you know, you either have a strong impulse to do it. You either have something inside you which you need to express and which has to come out, or you don't have that impulse. And if you don't have the kind of inner compulsion to express something, or the kind of opening which allows something to come through you, then, you know, it can be quite a frustrating activity. You know, if you want to be a published author, you're always going to be disappointed initially. You're always going to have some setbacks. So you need to be very determined, and you need to have this strong compulsion. Or maybe it's nothing, it's not really conscious. It's as if something is trying to express itself through you. A little bit like being a medium, you know, you allow something transcendent to come through you.
Right.
And your job is really to organize it and to express it clearly. But the raw material, the raw content doesn't actually come from you.
I like that. Thank you for that. 11 books, that's fantastic. So your latest book, Spiritual Science, talking about that today, there was a chapter that really it was on page 36, where you talked about the indigenous concepts of spirit force. Now, I would relate to it because I'm a huge Star Wars, for those that know me and follow me, I'm a huge Star Wars nerd or geek, and I've always believed since I was a child on the power of the force. I didn't realize I would be talking about the spirit force several years later, but you talk about the indigenous concepts of spirit force. And I think people would get a lot out of that if we could talk a little bit about that, because we have a whole book to talk about in an hour, and it's so tough to do to so many different topics. But the spirit force is what really caught my mind, what caught my eye, and how it ties into the pan-spiritism as well.
Yeah. Well, that really came from a book I wrote 15 years ago, my first book, which was called The Fall. And It was mainly about anthropology and archaeology, and I was trying to explain the differences between the indigenous people's view of the world and kind of Western, modern Westerners. And, you know, for example, the worldview of Native Americans is so different to the worldview of modern Americans that, you know, they're almost impossible to reconcile. You could be sort of talking about two completely different realities. There's so much divergence in them. So I wanted to explain why indigenous peoples have a completely different relationship to nature and to the world as a whole, to us, to modern Westerners. And so I looked into a lot of indigenous cultures around the world, from New Guinea to Southeast Asia, to North America, South America, all around the world, Australia as well, the Aborigines in Australia. And I found that there were certain sort of common threads, certain common principles shared by all of the world's indigenous peoples. And one of them, probably the most common one, was a concept of a spirit force. So as we mentioned earlier, the Native Americans called it sometimes the great mystery, sometimes the great spirit. And in other parts of the world, it was called universal soul or soul force or soul of the world. And I was really amazed by the, you know, the kind of the commonness, the frequency with which these concepts were, you know, prevalent throughout the world. And it really was exactly as I described panspiritism. It's this idea that there is a spirit, and it's not really, it's nothing like a deity. It's not a god. It's kind of impersonal. It's a kind of a force,
right,
rather than a being. And it's a spiritual force which infuses everything. You know, all natural things are filled with this force. It fills space as well. And most importantly, it also fills the individual human being. So that, you know, I think that's why indigenous peoples had such a profound respect for nature, because they knew that nature was of the same essence as them. You know, their own being participated in the being of nature because it was of the same essence. And a lot of people's belief that, you know, their own being came from spirit force, and when they died, their own being would return to spirit force. So there was a really nice sort of circular view of life that, you know, you come from spirit, and when you die, you return to spirit.
Yes, very much so. It's a lot of the work that I do as a medium, and we connect with those that are no longer here, but still give them a voice, which has always been fascinating to me, to actually speak with people that don't have vocal cords. So that telepathy that you're talking about, those the spirit force, as far as the energy that allows them to come through and to feel their essence of who they were and how they lived their lives, and to give that evidence of, you know, someone's loved one coming from the other side. For those that are listening, you know, if you want to learn more about the work Steve's doing, you can go to stevemtaylor.com. His events that are coming up there in and around England, and all of his books. And with that, that is our last break of the show. So we're going to be back here in 2 minutes with our very special guest today, Steve Taylor, talking about spiritual science. We'll be back in two.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras. a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Inspired listeners. Welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on the Om Times Radio Network. Our very special guest today, Steve Taylor, PhD, Senior Lecturer in Psychology at Leeds Beckett University, live on the air with us all the way from England. Steve, we appreciate your time. Of course, if you want to learn more about the work that Steve is doing in and around the UK, you can visit stevemtaylor.com. You can also find all of his information off our Facebook page, Inspired Living Radio, where we have a direct link to both the website and his latest book, Spiritual Science. Now, right before the break, I just wanted to finish up with spirit force and if it can be detected, because some would argue that it can and it can't. And then I know Kim has a few questions, so we want to bring her on the air. But let's finish up with, can spirit force actually be detected by human consciousness, human beings, human emotions, human feelings?
Well, it's a bit like the wind. I think you mentioned this earlier, that you can't actually see the wind, but you can sense its effects. So you know it's there by its effects on its surroundings. And I think spirit is like that. You can feel it. You know, if you're in a, for example, if you're in a deep state of meditation, you can feel your own spiritual essence, and you can feel that essence connecting with the whole world. You can feel it connecting with the fundamental spirit of the universe in a deep state of meditation. But also in other states of mind, I think, you know, when people feel compassion for others, and when they act altruistically in response to other people's suffering, that also works through spirit. It works through the kind of interconnectedness. It works because we share the same spiritual essence. So in a sense, that is a sign of the effects of spirit. And there are many, many different types of experience, such as near-death experiences. I mean, near-death experiences are amazing in so many different ways. But one of the most amazing features of them is this amazing sense of oneness and love, which people report. You know, people report feeling that everything, they sense that everything is interconnected. Their own being is part of the universe. They are, in some way, they are the universe. And they feel that the essential reality of the universe is love. They feel this love everywhere and this sense of bliss which spreads everywhere. And I think, you know, what's happening there is that people are actually sensing what is really there. They're sensing the spiritual essence of the universe. They're sensing the essential spirit of the universe. And they're realizing that this spirit does flow through everything. It flows through their own being. It interconnects everything. And so, you know, there is in that sense, there is a lot of evidence for the existence of this this spirit force.
Yes. So, hi, Steve.
Oh, hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. Good. So, you know, I was reading through your book too, and there's all different kinds of ways that we can come into this new awareness that you've described, and it doesn't always even have to be through such drastic measures in the near-death experience or anything like that. We can do that in many different ways, through meditation, through nature, or some of the ways you talked about earlier before. And you know, it's interesting because some people, and I'll be in that on I'll be part of this quote unquote group, but some people don't need proof at all. They just go with it, right? And
yeah.
And I'm more in that category, And so, to be honest, this topic has been a bit tough for me. But Mark, on the other hand, is very connected to science and spirituality and facts and poop and all that kind of thing. And so there's two ways of, I think, I guess, kind of being, you know, some people need all of that, and then others just kind of go with it and let spirit lead the way a bit. But some people need a little bit more. So you talked about, or in your book, in your book, you talked about consciousness as an illusion. And I'd love to hear you explain a little bit more about that, because on my own path and journey of ascension, that's been something that's come up more for me, is like looking back at situations and go, oh my gosh, was that even real? Like this situation that caused, you know, that was a difficult challenge in my life 3, 4, 5 years ago, or however long or whatever, you look back and it's like, oh my gosh, that wasn't even real. It was like a bunch of actors on stage acting out their roles for whatever needed to be learned from that. So I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about consciousness as an illusion.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of spiritual teachers do say that not just consciousness, but the world is a kind of illusion.
Right.
You know, there are even some quantum physicists who put forward a similar view that, you know, the world is created by our consciousness, and what we see is produced by our own consciousness. But if you say that our consciousness is also an illusion, then the world itself becomes an illusion. But I think, you know, there are so many different aspects of this. I think what you could say for sure is that our thoughts create a kind of an illusory layer of reality. And I think the more we live inside our own thoughts, inside our own concepts, the more illusory the world becomes. And I think, you know, when you experience fear, when you experience sadness and anxiety, in many cases, it is illusory. You know, it's just created by your thoughts. And the situation itself is, you know, there is no kind of innate anxiety or fear in a situation. It's just a situation. But your reaction to it is created by your mind, by your thoughts. So I think in some way, you know, our thoughts do create an illusory world. You know, and whether you go beyond that and say the world itself is an illusion, I wouldn't go that far. I'd say that there is something there. There is some kind of innate reality to the world. But that reality is distorted, it's filtered, it's changed by our own thoughts.
Yeah, I like how you describe it. That's kind of how my own understanding of it is too. The world is there, but we're kind of, it's like our hologram, right? We're projecting that out there. There are different illusions playing out based on what it is we're working on learning at the soul level, I guess, is how I understand it. And people come in, they play out different roles for us. So that we can see what needs to be illuminated with us, within us, is illuminated for us to see. It's just kind of, it's interesting. I think, I feel like the more I go down this path, the more it's like I look back at certain situations and, oh my gosh, that wasn't even real. That was my illusion.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of have a problem which seems so real, and you think, wow, how am I going to deal with this problem? And you can ask people, you know, what should I do with this problem? What advice can you give me? And you can spend days or weeks trying to deal with this problem. And then suddenly the problem disappears. It was never there in the first place. It is just a thought-created illusion. You know, you may look back from years later and think, what was happening there? You know, there was really nothing there. It was just a thought-created illusion.
Kind of an interesting thing. I've listened to other speakers, you know, who are you know, talk about higher consciousness and stuff, and they talk about you get to a point where it's like you can't even tell what's real or what's not real anymore when your consciousness begins to expand so much. But anyways, kind of an interesting thing to think about. Then you also talked a little bit about the notion of separation and that we are connected too to everything, but that we live in sometimes a place of a separation to all that is. And I know just on my own journey that, and most other people, we're all living in separation from ourselves and from all that is, and that that can be the basis of a lot of the difficulty and challenges and suffering that we have in life, because we're disconnected from truth in that process.
Yeah. I think that's the speaking of illusions, that's the greatest illusion of all. The illusion of separation.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that could be the greatest illusion of all, that we're all separate.
Yeah, because, as you say, the sense of separation is the source of so much suffering. I think it's the biggest source of human suffering, the illusion that we are separate beings, the illusion that we are enclosed within our own bodies, within our own mental space. That creates a basic sense of isolation, a basic sense of incompleteness, and a hunger to get things, to make yourself more complete, whether it's material possessions or whether it's status or success and power and so forth.
Yeah, and I think everybody's heard the saying, oh, we are all one, we are all connected. But I feel like when most people talk about it, it's more as a concept that's out there, like conceptually. But I don't know that, people actually feel it within themselves. They actually, that is their truth, and they believe it, they feel it within them. It's just more like a nice thing to say or something they might think is right, but they're not really feeling it inside.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, but I think it is possible to feel it. I think, in our deepest being, at the essence of our being, we are one, and we can experience that oneness. As as I said before, in states of meditation, you can experience it. Or if you go into the countryside on a beautiful day, your mind becomes quiet, and you seem to expand into your surroundings, and you sense that oneness in your surroundings. Or it could be with another person or another group of people. You could be dancing in a group of people and you feel your oneness with a group. You could be playing music in a group of people and feel the oneness of the whole group. And I think it's so natural, and it's so healthy to feel that sense of oneness.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful gift to experience, a blessing to experience when we do that. And there's certainly ways that that we can feel that for sure. When you talk about separation, have you ever studied or written about ways in dissolving separation within ourselves?
Well, I think there are many ways. I think there are many situations where separation dissolves away. I think a lot of people, they enjoy certain activities. Like, for example, a lot of people enjoy surfing or hang gliding. Climbing. I think the reason why people enjoy such activities is because, when you engage in these activities, you lose your sense of separation. You become so one with the activity, you become so concentrated that you lose that sense of separation and feel a tremendous sense of transcendence and wholeness. I think in many ways, the essential human, our essential desire, our strongest desire, is to transcend separation and experience oneness.
Yeah, I only have to I say that's my experience too, but not everybody, I guess, and some people don't even know what it is they're passionate about in life, what really does bring them joy. It's wonderful when people do have that laid out, like, they really enjoy surfing or they're passionate about hiking and things like that. And again, some of the things that we're talking about here is connecting to nature, which helps to reinforce those feelings of connectedness and oneness.
Yeah. It could be music. It could be playing music. It could be sometimes when people go to music concerts, they feel a oneness with the crowd, with the rest of the audience. A musician feels oneness with his music. So there are a lot of different situations where, I think that's one of the main reasons why we enjoy going to concerts and other similar activities.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, I'll speak to that. Music has a great way of, it can do so much for us. I think it does that for me. All kinds of music too, right? It's just like, it doesn't have to be meditative music. It can be music that makes you happy, music that brings you to a place of, reminiscing or just beautiful memories attached to it. You're laughing over there, Mark. You feel the same way?
I do. I'd also throw movies in there because it's such a great escape of the mind. Music, movies, books, reading books. I was just listening to Tom Petty singing his last song before he passed into spirit. It just really overpowered me, like, wow, you never know when you're going to sing your last song. But yeah, I just totally agree, and just listening to the wisdom that's being shared between the two of you.
Well, yeah, I think it's any situation. Sorry, Kim.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that any situation where the mind stops, any beautiful piece of music, could be a beautiful painting, a beautiful landscape, it can stop the mind. It can, like, freeze our thoughts, and a bit of space opens up within our being.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Stephen, sharing your wisdom and all the beautiful work you're doing out there. And we just appreciate your time. Thank you for being with us. And thank you to the community for being with us today as well. We'll see you back here again next Wednesday on Inspired Living Radio.
Until
then,
Steve.
Mark likes to say, be kind.
Thanks, Mark.
And always come from a place of love.